message will encourage our hearts. And, you know, during the Sunday school time, we've been going through 2 Peter chapter 1. That's just been a tremendous blessing to my heart. Boy, that's such a joy to hear from Brother Peter encouraging the saints back then and still applicable today, because, of course, God's eternal principles still hold true. But there's a passage in 2 Peter chapter 1 where Peter is giving an account of the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, he was there and saw an eyewitness testimony of Jesus in his majesty as God. And so let's go to Mark chapter 9. This is that account. But going to take it from a application standpoint for Christians, you know, and this afternoon's message, the highs and the lows of the Christian life, from mountaintop experience, of course, down to the valley of disappointments, you know. And so Mark chapter 9, of course, this is the account of the Mount of Transfiguration. And so we get the mountaintop experience, praise Lord. But then sometimes the next thing you know, you're down in the valley. And case in point, you have Peter, James, and John. Of course, they're up with Jesus in the mountain. He's transfigured. I mean, boy, and God speaks from the heavens. I mean, they see him as the Christ, as the Son of God. And boy, what a mountaintop experience. And then a few verses later, they're down from the mountain. They were struggling to cast out this wicked spirit. In fact, they couldn't do it. And so the idea is, you know, sometimes we have this mountaintop experience and praise the Lord, we're rejoicing with the Lord, and it can be a certain time in our life, a certain, you know, period in our life. It even could just be a Sunday, and then tomorrow comes, or whatever. I'm just saying there can be times that we have these spiritual high, if you will, that we're on the mountaintop with the Lord, and then the next thing you know it, we're in the valley, and all of a sudden things are kind of falling apart. The disciples, they've cast out spirits before, and now they couldn't do it. Because newsflash, Christians can fail. Jesus never fails, praise the Lord, but we are fallible, you know. And so I just want to share that again, just you know, maybe Christianity in real life kind of thing, and maybe this can encourage us again. That at the end of the day, yes, it was wonderful, and I can't even imagine for Peter, James, and John to be in, you know, right there on the Mount of Transfiguration and everything. I mean, they were right there to the point that they were just all scared to be in the presence of God. All they wanted to do was to worship God and to build an altar. I mean, that just praise God for that. And the next thing, of course, you know, they kind of run out of gas and they couldn't cast out this spirit. And then, lo and behold, they were humbled to realize that it was Jesus. They needed Jesus to do it. And we always need the Lord. And so Mark chapter 9, let's go to verse 2. And it says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, leadeth them up into an high mount apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And then let's go to verse 9, when they come down now. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, that you are unchanging, that you are immutable, that you are infallible. Because, Father, I am completely fallible. Lord, you know that I change all the time, Lord. I'm always, sometimes I second guess, and I'm so, you know, indecisive for certain things. And Father, I'm just in my flesh. And Father, I just thank you, Father, for your grace, for your mercy, your long-suffering to me. Thank you for your word. And your word is so true, but Father, I confess that sometimes I don't always heed it, Lord, and woe on me. But Father, I thank you that I can rejoice in you. I thank you, Father, for the mountaintop, you know, experiences that you give us, give me. Every Sunday, every Thursday is a mountain high for me. I love being in your house. Every day, you know, sometimes we have those valley days. And so, Lord, we are so thankful that you are so gracious, Lord, and help us to always just trust and lean in you through all things. And we thank you that you are the God of the hills and the mountains, but you're also God of the valley. And I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Certainly a you can think of a mountaintop experience where kind of everything is going hunky-dory, everything is going your way. We're rejoicing with the Lord, and you go to the store and you even get a nice parking spot right there. I mean, everything is just clicking in place, and praise God for that. We feel close to the Lord, and we are walking with the Lord. If you look at verse 2, Peter, James, and John, they literally couldn't get any closer. And so, and after 6 days, James taketh him, Peter, and James, and John, and leadeth them up into a high mount apart by themselves. And so, certainly compared to all the other disciples, let alone the disciples beyond the 12 and just the general followers of Jesus and then just the general public, they were no one closer. And so they were right there with the Lord. He was transfigured before them. And then his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so that as no fuller on earth can white them. Of course, they beheld his glory. And we look in Revelation, you know, Jesus, of course, will be the light of the new kingdom. And this is a preview to that. And there appeared unto them Elias and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And then verse 5, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. That's a wonderful thing. when we have that mountaintop experience, we're walking in hand with God and we're just praising God all the way. We are thankful that we can really say it is good for us to be here in the house of the Lord. It's good for us to be having the gift of prayer, treasures beyond measure. When you come out of your prayer closet, or when you're in your prayer closet, you can say, Lord, it is good for me to be here. It's a joy to be here, Lord. I treasure and I cherish this time. I just want to stay in the prayer closet and not ever go out, you know. And that's a wonderful thing. And let us make three tabernacles: one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Completely in the presence of God, very aware of that. That God is just right there. He is ever present. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. That was the reference to Moses and Elijah. And then verse 7, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Literally, Peter, James, and John were fully aware that they were in the presence of God. They could hear God speak to them. And those are the mountaintop times that I cherish. You know, where there are times where I say, Lord, in fact, I don't even, you know, I pray for, just for example, I just pray for God to use me every service that I would speak his word, but again, specifically what God will want me to share. I say, Lord, you know your people, Lord, and I always feel like Solomon, Lord, give me an understanding heart for how can I judge such greater people. I mean, I can't do it. I'm just a nobody. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Lord, it has to be your word. What would you have me to preach that it would be your words, not mine, you know, and your heart, not mine. And God, he's never failed. He's always given me what he wants me to say. Now, sometimes, I don't even need to ask. I just know it. In fact, I'm like, oh, okay, God, okay, okay. And Lord just burdens me when I read the scriptures. I just know, I know, I know. It convicts me first, and then he wants me to just share that. And then some other times, I kind of tumble over myself. You know, well, Lord, I got this, but I've really been burdened about this. And just praying about it, and what the Lord will have for me. And it's a joy. It's a joy to have, kind of like Peter, James, and John here, where they're right with Jesus. They see God. They see Jesus as who he truly is. They hear God, the Father, speaking. I mean, they're right there. They say, it is good to be here. I mean, I just really want to be here. I'm glad that I'm here. That's great. And then, of course, verse 8 and 9, we'll read that there. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus, only with themselves. And just like that, kind of just back, not to say back to, you know, usual. I mean, that was a one-time thing. That was just a fantastic experience. And then verse 9, they're going to come down from the mountain. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what thing they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And in fact, I don't know if you feel that way, you know, but when I pray with the Lord, and we commune together, and we fellowship together. This is what's so awesome about the omnipresence of God. Of course, he's omniscient. He's all powerful. But when I spend time with God, I feel so special. I hope you feel the same way. Okay, but the idea is you feel just so special, and there's something that I have with my Lord that no one else does. You know, kind of thing here where Jesus told Peter, James, and John, don't tell him about this till I be risen. Of course, then they do as they write it in, you know, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. But it's a privileged thing. It's a wonderful thing. Treasure truly beyond measure. But mountaintops experience are great, but everyone comes down eventually, kind of get back down to earth. And the challenge is, well, how do we handle things when things don't go so well necessarily? You look at verse 14, kind of skip some of those verses. The verse 14, of course, then right away you have this failed, you know, casting out of a spirit that the disciples just kind of hit a dead end here. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And so they're getting drilled here. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. So Jesus to the rescue. Hallelujah. Which, of course, is he's our Savior, not just for salvation, but every day. He's the one that saves us. This is right there. But it's so easy for me sometimes that, you know, I feel like I can, you know, you can charge hell with a squirt gun, put out the fire, and the next thing you know, you kind of drop the ball somewhere, or before you know it, some sin has crept up, or I've blown a gasket, I shoot my lip over here, or I lost my temper here, or I've done something I shouldn't do, and then I'm kind of crashing down to the harsh reality. But praise God that Jesus always shows up right at the right time. But again, if you go down, well, read with me here. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him." And so people have real problems. This is a real problem. "And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." Christians can fail. Now, with God, all things are possible. I get that. I'm just sharing the reality of our fallibility. And in fact, that's what the Lord appreciates in the confession of Dad straight away in verse 24. We'll get to that. Okay, but I understand that we are, you know, we are frail. Jesus, in his hour of need, and very few times Jesus actually asked for help, let alone prayer, and he asked Peter, James, and John, those that were with him in the mount, now all of the disciples, but he took with him Peter, James, and John a little closer. He says, "Guys, my soul is exceeding sorrowful," right? Exceeding heavy, to the point of death. I mean, this is, "Guys, I really need your help." We know this story, right? "Can you watch with me, tarry with me 1 hour and pray? I really need you guys to have my back." I mean, Jesus is always the one giving. How many times is he actually asking? And that was the one time he was asking for prayer, a blessing from his closest inner circle, Peter, James, and John, that saw him transfigured. He says, "Guys, I need your prayer. Pray for me, okay?" And then he goes, another stone cast away. He prays to the Father. He's sweating, you know, drops of blood. He comes back and finds him sleeping. I mean, that's, you know, that's, can I share with you? That's me. Hopefully not all the time. Okay, but I'm just saying, there's times that we drop the ball. And I think of Peter. He's in the scripture so that I can identify with. He denied the Lord thrice. But God still used him, and he's my very fallible hero because of that. You know, I can, you know, that's just as human flesh. Of course, all glory to Jesus Christ. That's the point. But the point is, it's not just Jesus Christ is the victory, but in me is this defeat, okay? And so it's all in Christ. And so very real people with very real problems. And, well, verse 19, "Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall it be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straight with the spirit, tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child." Wow, been going on for a long time. "And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." We are supposed, of course, to be the light of the world. We are, of course, supposed to minister to people. But my friends, that's some real people out there with serious problems, real problems. And sometimes we can, of course, be a blessing. We want to be a blessing and minister. But the solution is not in us. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't solve anyone's problem. We can't work any miracles besides just sharing Jesus Christ. And he can work a miracle in their lives. And Jesus, verse 23, said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. No, Dad, it's not up to me, it's up to you. Jesus, you know, in that sense, he's got to believe. And straightway the father of the child cried out. So it's not because of the disciples. Yes, they were fallible, but that's because we are all fallible, but we need faith. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, it struck him right in the heart, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. What a humbling confession by desperate dad. And that's many ways echoes the life of a disciple, a Christian. Again, praise the Lord for those mountaintop experiences. Hey, we're right there. You can do no wrong. And then sometimes we kind of get down in the valley. We feel like we can do no right. You know, so Lord, I believe. And even when we pray, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. This fallible side of me, the sinful side of me, Lord, just help me. I can't do it. I need you, Lord, in every single facet. God, of course, refines our faith with trials. God uses our failures as a catalyst. I think of, dear brother Peter, Jesus said, when thou art converted, after he would deny the Lord three times, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And so let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter knows about failures firsthand. Poor Peter. I can't even imagine how he would have felt. It says he went out and wept bitterly, right? And I don't know. I felt bad about my failures. But have you ever wept bitterly? I'm not talking about, loved one passing away, because I've wept when my dad passed, okay? But as far as my own failures, when Peter, he denied the Lord three times, and the Lord looked upon him, eye-to-eye contact. He knew that the Lord knew, and Peter went out into the dark, and he wept bitterly. He just broke. He was a broken man. Of course, God is in the business of making beautiful mosaics when we are broken, a broken and contrite spirit, right? He would not deny, he would not reject, he uses us. But let's go to 1 Peter. And so Peter's firsthand talking about hardships and trials that refine our faith. And so he's obviously been there himself. So he's talking about this from his first hand. Now, 1 Peter 1:7, we know this, that the trial of your faith, and to that extent, even our physical failures, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, even to the point of human failure, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Praise God that God intervenes. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and then verse 25. Oh, I'm sorry. Luke chapter 5. Is it Mark? I said Luke. I meant Luke chapter 5. Let's go to verse 4, actually. Luke 5, verse 4. This is when Peter is going to be called to be a disciple. And we know this story account here where Jesus tells him to lower the nets. And he half-heartedly obeys because, hey, it's Jesus. You're not going to say no to him. But certainly Peter's heart is not in it. But let's go to verse 4. And it always, it brings me up to Peter's confession at the end there and the Lord's response. But let's go to verse 4, Luke 5. It says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, that's Peter, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. Again, Jewish fisherman, Peter will be the first to tell you, he wrote the handbook on fishing. You do it in the nighttime in the shallows. That's where you do it. And now this is daytime, which is a no-no for fishing. And Jesus is 0 for 2 because he's telling him to launch out into the deep. You don't do that. There's no catching out there. It's all in the shallow parts. But this is what Jesus told him to do. And to let down the nets, plural, for a draught, for a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, if you say so, okay, I will let down the net, singular. So he's not quite, he doesn't believe it'll work. So he's not going to bother with two nets. Now this is going to come back and really break his heart later. And verse 6, and when they had done, when they had this done, guess what happened? Verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, And their net break, like, oh, I should have put more than one, like Jesus said. And they beckon unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that's James and John, and they should that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. This is like the catch of their lives. What's going on? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. See, the other disciples might not have been privy to, you know, what was going on with Peter, but he knew in his heart. And so Peter is having a very in the valley moment here, saying, depart from me. It's like, oh, I messed up, Lord. I don't deserve to be even in your presence. Right? Remember, two different accounts, I get it, okay? But in the mountaintop, he was, hey, it's good for me to be here. Lord, praise God. Woo, this is great. And then here he's a broken man. He's like, I don't even deserve to be in your presence, Lord. It's not good for me to be here. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And then verse 9 explains to us why he is thinking this way. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Because Peter expected them to catch zero. He toiled all night as best as he can do, the best ever at fishing, caught nothing. Certainly, this would be just as, you know, pointless to lower the nets in the deep parts in the day. No one does that. So he was astonished. He was humbled. He was shocked. Very similar to what Jesus tells the disciples, later on when he cast out the spirit. Let's go to verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. It's okay, Simon. It's okay. I'm not going to ditch you. I'm not going to depart. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And then verse 11, now this account here gives a little bit more description than what Matthew and Mark does when Jesus calls them. They were mending the nets because of this, and then they follow. So this gives you kind of the backstory to that. Verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And Peter realized, man, Lord, you mean to tell me all those times, my years as a fisherman, I'm a veteran fisherman, I'm the captain of the fisherman chapter. I mean, all these, my fishing men, prowers. Lord, that was all you? You say, yeah, that was all me. Because without me, you can do nothing. And he said, oh, wow. And so he forsook it all, and well, I'm going to follow you, be a fisher of men. And so that was, you know, again, it's a valley moment from mountaintop. Let's go back to Mark chapter 9, and then verse 25, of course, we know where we're getting at, but Mark chapter 9, verse 25. And so, poor dad, help thou my unbelief. And that's enough to satisfy Jesus, you know, with, you know, he understands the father's desperateness, and he understands the dad is fallible. We're all fallible. Verse 25, then when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And of course, Jesus is the one that gets all the glory. He is the one that raises us up from those valley days, valley moments. And then verse 29, and he said unto them, verse 28, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately. I only imagine just all the cheering, all the praising of Jesus, and, you know, maybe the disciples too, when this happened, when the son was freed and healed, everyone's applauding. And then, of course, when they get some personal time, the disciples knew that it was all Jesus. They knew it wasn't them. And so his disciples asked him privately. So, you know, just, hey, Lord, by the way, why could not we cast him out? Okay, why we did what you did. How come it didn't happen? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. What a challenge. What a thought. It's not us. It's never us. And praise the Lord for God's grace. Praise the Lord for the mountaintop experiences. To me, that's every Sunday. That's every, you know, time we meet together. I'm so blessed by that. And then back to reality, you know. But again, it's walking by faith, and the Lord is it's all about Him anyway. It's Him all the time. And so let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a thought, Lord. It's good to be here. But Lord, we thank you so much that even when we struggle, when we confess our sinfulness and how fallible we are, Lord, that even then you help our unbelief. Lord, we just, Lord, help us, Lord, to trust you more. We confess that we, we have many shortcomings, Lord, and Father, we just give all our heart to you. Help us, Lord, to just trust and obey, as it was said before. And Lord, we love you. Have your way and your will this coming week with us, Lord, as we praise you and thank you for the even the small things, Lord. We count our blessings. Help us to be used of you for your glory. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed, and honey.